This episode is sponsored by Free Market Kids. Join the league of families who are transforming family time into unforgettable Bitcoin learning experiences. With our Hoddle Up Bitcoin mining board game, you're not just playing. You're building bridges, creating memories, and unlocking the brilliance of the future one block at a time.
This is our second year as a vendor and speaker. We went to two different locations and we tested out different ways of sharing Bitcoin education with homeschoolers. And then this year, we were hoping for a better response. We really believe that there are great similarities in the value systems and beliefs between Bitcoiners and homeschoolers. A lot of the homeschooling families who came by our booth and chatted with us, we understand that it is a huge, huge challenge. It's a 24/7 job. Part of this convention would be attending these workshops and getting pumped up and getting fresh information or being reminded of basic principles. And then you have, of course, the other part of this, which is the very, very extensive exhibitor hall with hundreds and hundreds of vendors.
Welcome to Bitcoin Homeschoolers. It's been a little bit. Tali and I have been traveling, and today we are very excited to dig into an experience at the Great Homeschooling Convention in Cincinnati. And we're going to talk about what we saw there, what we learned, and then we're going to have some resources for those of you that are going down the homeschooling path. All right, so first, let's give an overview for those that have that are new to homeschooling. Tali, maybe I'll ask you the question. We'll go back. How's that? Why don't you describe what this convention is? Because a lot of people, I know when we started homeschooling, I had never heard of a homeschooling convention. And I certainly had never attended one.
Okay, there are two parts to at least this particular brand of homeschool conventions, because there are lots of different organized groups that do conventions. But in this particular one, Greater Homeschool Conventions, the one that we went to was in Cincinnati, but I believe all the formats are the same for this under this particular GHC brand, is you have featured speakers, and you can attend their topics, and the topics are always listed out. And I think what I've heard from a lot of the homeschooling families who came by our booth and chatted with us was that they, as homeschoolers, we understand that it is a huge, huge challenge. It's a 24/7 job. And so at the end of the school year, you really need a morale boost to think, okay, I'm going to do this one more year, because it is quite challenging. You're responsible for a lot of things. And so part of this convention would be attending these workshops and getting pumped up and getting fresh information or being reminded of basic principles. And then you have, of course, the other part of this, which is the very, very extensive exhibitor hall with hundreds and hundreds of vendors who bring in products and services that cover a myriad of topics and subjects and missions and purposes. So that's basically what the GHC Homeschool Convention experience is like.
Right. So let me summarize. So you're looking at thousands of, basically it's often families coming together for two and a half days. They have, what do you call them? Influential speakers.
Featured speakers,
thank you, well-known people in the space. They have separate workshops that can be put on by exhibitors, and then they have the exhibitor hall, which is what everybody thinks about with it, where you walk through kind of a traditional convention hall, but you're just, everything around you is geared towards something in education.
Right, and the primary purpose, I think, for most homeschooling families attending the conference or the convention is to purchase curriculum for the following school year.
Got it. All right, so Let's transition then. For everybody who's listening, what Tali and I did before this is we each made a short list, because there's a lot. When you're there for a few days, not only are you trying to showcase your material, which is what we were doing while we were there, but you're also networking and learning yourself. And so what we did is we put together a short list, each of us, to talk about some type of resource that we did not know about before we went. So Tali, why don't you go first, then we're just going to alternate, and then we can...
Okay, we don't want to talk about why we were there in the first place?
Sure. I guess we can, if we keep it short, I think we'll be...
Okay, so this is just a real quick overview. This is our second year attending the GHC conference as a vendor and speaker. So last year we went to two different locations and we tested out different ways of sharing Bitcoin education with homeschoolers. And then this year we slightly changed our approach because we were hoping for a better response. We really believe that there are great similarities in the value systems and beliefs between Bitcoiners and homeschoolers. And we really wanted to communicate that with the homeschooling community. And so we applied to be a vendor and we gave two talks. Mm-hmm. Scott gave one and I gave one, just to see if we can reach them more effectively, communicate Bitcoin education more effectively. So other than giving the talks and of course manning our booth, we took turns walking around the exhibitor hall. And I was really glad that I don't have anybody to buy for right now, because I would have bought the entire convention because yeah. There are so many amazing, interesting things there. A lot of things that I've never seen before. So new vendors, and those are always very exciting to walk up to the booth and chat with the entrepreneur who's sharing that. And I would say probably 100% or close to 100% of the vendors there were homeschoolers themselves and extensive experiences in the community. And so we gather a lot of information. We learned a lot, and we tried to give.
Yeah, I'm actually. Some value yeah, I'm as glad. Well. Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up. I didn't think about this when we made our outline. And when you talk about why we were there, and when you say, "Hey, we did workshops. We did two workshops for Bitcoiners who have, for all of you who have listened to us in the past, you know that we're Bitcoiners. You know that by the name of our podcast, certainly. And when I talk with Bitcoiners who are thinking about starting a family or starting a family, it is so easy to convince somebody who's a Bitcoiner about homeschooling. Self-custody or education is, and separation of education state, they just resonate. But our mission for what we're doing with Free Market Kids also includes the reverse of that, where we're trying to take the message about Bitcoin and the money system, and we're trying to reach people who don't yet understand Bitcoin. And when we are at a homeschooling convention, we're trying to spread that message. We're trying to reach a new group and bring them to the Bitcoin side. So I'm really glad you brought that up, because I was going to skip over that.
Yeah. And so do you want to talk about the topics that we present, or you want to jump right into the interesting vendors?
No, I would propose let's go through the list first, and then we can, if we have time, we can kind of go into the, we'll have time, but I think highlighting the different vendors that we saw helps with people who are listening to this and are trying to understand why this is a good resource for them and how to use it.
Okay, so I'll jump in first. One of the most exciting new addition out there, this was their first year at the convention, was a company called FlyTest. And we'll have the link in our show notes. And the reason this company was so exciting to me was that I wanted to buy their kit and play with it myself. So basically what they did was they designed styrofoam airplanes and cars that can fly, flying cars. And then all different shapes, designs. But these are styrofoam pieces that you hot glue together so that when you test fly, you know, a lot of the cheap stuff that we buy from the dollar store or something, the foam airplanes that you try to fly, it lands wrong and then it's just destroyed. You can't put it back together because the styrofoam is flimsy and or it breaks or the hot glue comes apart. Well, this is very, very sturdy and it's designed to take crashes. So you can create these styrofoam airplane in different styles, and then you can attach a universal engine and a controller. Like, you put the universal engine on the styrofoam airplane, you can put LED lights and stuff, and then you would then control it with a remote.
Right. So connect it to the why it's a homeschooling. Why this is as a homeschooling mom, why that is appealing to you.
Well, it's always fun to do hands-on for kids. As the younger they are, the more it should be hands-on. There shouldn't be a lot of analysis just yet. But it's engineering principles, because you could see a circle and then they say, oh, this thing is going to fly. You're like, how is that going to fly? Well, you put the engine on and you use the remote control, it actually flies. I actually bought a kit that was a car that, depending on how fast you took it and then the elevation that you control, it can take off. So I thought that was really cool. You can make it run on the ground or you can make it lift off. And so those principles are so much fun to personally experience rather than just watching on a video or listening to a lecture.
Yeah, I would say so for a young kid, it's almost arts and craftsy.
It's very arts and craftsy.
But you get to middle school or high school, what you're describing with how much speed do you need, the Bernoulli principle, how much lift do you get? Like you could actually turn that into part of a science lab.
Absolutely. And the funnest part is that you can buy different style of airplanes and then just move the electric components and then reuse them again. And I would suggest that if your kids are older for flight test, I would even combine it with a class that I purchased for our kids at one point. It was called, it was from the teaching company, and it's a 24 lecture series about flight. And if you combine the lecture with the hands-on project, it would make a really wonderful high school science class.
Well, I'll add from a dad's perspective too. So one thing that Tali and I are trying to do is we're trying to appeal to more than just people who are purely homeschooling, because you can homeschool and implement these ideas even if you're both working, if both parents are working. But, you know, just take the stereotypical homeschooling household where the mom is doing the day-to-day logistics and coordination on the curriculum, et cetera. It's important to have things where the dad can be involved. And you could even have this involved with grandparents or others. So what I like about this is, one, it's physical, like you say, that helps with the learning process, but it also helps from an involvement standpoint, because you can come back from work. Let's say men, you're at your job, you come home, you're tired, and like the kids, they don't care if it's a project, they don't care what time of day it is. It's not like school is really ever over when you're homeschooling. This is an opportunity for dads to get involved and maybe give mom a break. Right? Of course, if you fly them in the house and you break a vase or something, maybe mom will get involved after all. But I think you can have some fun if you do this. And I think you can extend the involvement to parents who otherwise aren't ready to jump in and teach. So, okay. You want to move on? I'll go with my list now.
We'll just go back and forth.
Well, actually, so the one I brought up, I had actually seen once before. I saw them last year, but I wanted to bring them up again because I think it helps give a flavor of the variety of things that you see. And the other thing that I thought was the title of their company is actually a phrase that we use. So the company is called Beyond Personal Finance. And Tali and I use that phrase when we're trying to talk about how the money system is broken. And then it's not just Dave Ramsey, that there's more to what's going on. And that's kind of a lead in to eventually to Bitcoin. But this is an entire company. And what they do is they kind of speed things up. They say, okay, we're going to go through a case study. This is like to a kid. And you say, we're going to start with, basically they take your whole lifetime, or they take 10 or 15 years at least. They actually walk through, hey, now you're getting a car, now you have a job, now you have this expense. And they actually have workbooks and videos to go along with this. And it's almost as if you just fast forwarded 10 or 15 years into a course in a workbook style where kids learn about finance. Like, it's personal finance. So it's not exactly what we're talking about where the whole system is broken, but I like the title of their company. I like what they're doing to help put things in perspective. And I thought they looked very well organized. I've never gone through their material. You know, I just kind of browsed through it. And so that was the one that I want. That's the first one on my list to bring up.
Okay, my turn. So another one I wanted to bring to everybody's attention is called Wonder Year, and it's actually just a book. It was written by three women, and they each individually world schooled their kids not together, but separately. And then somehow they found each other when they were done. And the three of them decided to collaborate and write a book called Wonder Year. And you'll again find that link in our show notes. I thought it was really interesting to be able to get three different perspectives, because there are a thousand different ways you can travel while you're homeschooling. And so I just find that it will be really fun to talk about their own experiences, their intentions, how they made it happen, etc. So in future episodes, we're going to actually interview the authors of this book. But in the meantime, if you'd like to check out their book, it's called Wonder Year.
So why did you... Okay, I'm just putting myself in the shoes. I'm listening to this podcast, and I'm trying to say what's in it for me as a homeschooling mom. I'm assuming this is for the parents, right? This is not something for the kids to read.
This is for the parents, yes.
Okay, so...
If you want to add travel to your homeschooling journey, it's described as the blog and book they wished they had before their journeys.
It kind of reminds me of Choose Life, the Daniel Prince philosophy.
Right.
Not philosophy, but the experience that they journaled.
Yeah. And there are so many different ways to do this. I just think that it's always good to see different people's tips and tricks and advice. So
yeah, I was going to say, if you're considering doing a world schooling type of thing, or some people kind of venture into unschooling with that, you know, if you read Daniel Prince's book that his wife commented on, you could hear about their personal experience and Choose Life, and then you get this Wonder Year, and then you would get three more points of view. I think that would be really helpful if you're considering taking those steps. Okay.
And also these are three women, so that'll be different from a dad's point of view as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. So one thing as we transition to the next item on the list is to give some of the variety of the types of things that you will be exposed to if you're able to go to one of these conferences. And then of course you can always check out the list. Even if you can't attend, just go to the exhibitor list, and there's a lot of things to find. So the next one on my list was actually our neighbor. So every booth, you kind of get to know your vendors to your left and to your right, and even kind of across the aisle. And our neighbor this year, next to our booth, was a lady named Anna, and the name of her company is Life Momentum with Anna B. And I found her perspective on things to be so refreshing, and actually pushed us in terms of our perspective on homeschooling. Tali, I'll actually ask you to help me describe her thing. Basically, is her services are focused on, like, imagine you're a CEO, or you're a franchise owner. You have something you're in your business that you're running. It doesn't mean that you can't do the types of schooling that we're talking about, right? And she coaches on how to be an entrepreneur and still do this.
No, she coaches entrepreneurs on how to homeschool while they're running a six-figure business.
Okay. Much better said than I, and you spent more time with her than me. But I found her to be just have such a refreshing perspective, and it was so different than you go from one booth where they're talking about a curriculum on history or art or whatever it is, and then you go to the next booth and here's someone who's helping coach these business owners.
Right. I think there's a what would you call it, a FUD, that if you're working, if you have two working parents, you can't homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
And she's literally providing her coaching service to say, yes, you can. Even if you're running a significant and successful business, you can still be a successful homeschooler. And she helps you with scheduling. She helps you with evaluations and different types of testing, not testing for academics, but like testing for study styles, learning styles, that type of stuff to best fit you with the curriculum that would work for your child's specific needs. And so I think her services are quite unique, and it might be the answer to some Bitcoiners out there who are not able to walk away from a fiat job yet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you can still homeschool, is our
point. Inspiring.
Yeah.
All right, what's next on your list?
All right, my next one is kind of fun. It's called Pop Potential. And their little giveaway when I walk by their booth is actually a packet of Pop Candy, if you guys remember those from when you were little. Poptential is a 501c3 company. They raise funds, which allows them to offer their material for free. So this is a free high school social studies teacher resources that's high in pop culture. So their tagline is a poptential student understands the world, their place in it, and how to improve upon it. And the subjects that they cover include American history, world history, government, American history classes, and two world history classes, government and economics. So they are about the traditional values. So they cover American principles, including individualism, liberty, egalitarianism, entrepreneurship, governance, trade, and civil engagement. So it's free. Check it out. I thought that was quite interesting, and you can look at it and try it. And if you don't like it or you don't like their particular style, then you can change because it's free and it's easy to test. They have a combination of short videos and reading materials, and it's called Poptential.
All right. The last one I had that I was going to mention today was called Trinity College of Louisville. So we live in Kentucky, so Louisville is close. And what was interesting about this is the variety of, again, going back to the variety of the types of resources you're exposed to when you attend one of these conventions, these homeschooling conventions, is pretty remarkable. And there are quite a few colleges that have very traditional conservative values that are there almost, it looks to me like it's recruiting, basically. They'll bring in some of their alum, they'll talk about their program, they'll talk about how it's aligned with the values of homeschoolers. And what's interesting about this particular one is, from our boys playing in a homeschooling soccer league, knew the individual who started this. It started 2 years ago, and we kind of looked at each other, or I think he saw Tali first, and we're like, I think I know you. And it took a little while to remember, because you're out of context, that this is actually someone who was a fellow parent, and his kid or kids were on the soccer team. So what he's doing essentially is he's starting his own college equivalent, and it's not accredited, but it's a cheaper alternative certainly to other colleges these days. And it, of course, it's faith-based, as you could tell by the name. But I thought that was interesting. I think it'd be the change that you want to be in the world. So if you want to change what college is about, and you're tired of all the horrible headlines about what's going on in our universities today, this is interesting to me, and it gives me hope as you see other people standing up and saying, well, I think there's a gap here, and I want to go try and fill it. And it happens to be with higher education. But
another one that's similar to that is called Excel College. Hmm. And again, it's non-traditional. It's skill and trade based. So their program is 2.5 years. They absolutely encourage students to go through without incurring any debt at all. And half of the time is internship based for them to earn credits. So instead of sitting in the classroom and learning theories and principles, they're out there actually practically using or learning and then using the skills that can in the future earn them an income.
Right. So a lot more than just curriculum are available in these homeschooling conventions. Did you have any others on your list?
I do. I have four more, actually.
Okay, maybe we could...
I'll talk, but these are important. Okay. So, okay, one of them is called the Teach Me Health and Homeopathy Curriculum, and it's for kids pre-K to grade 12, and these are story-based books, not textbooks, but like the primary book, and then you have a workbook, and then she also has... a homeopathy quiz kind of game, and it's very interactive, and it's basically teaching the kids to not as a first resort use big pharma drugs, but to learn that there are natural ways to deal with chronic issues like asthma and you know, common cold and things like that. So I think it's quite unusual to see homeopathy curriculum for children. I think it's definitely worth looking at.
It's really not something you would see in a traditional school system.
Right. And her name is Paola Brown, and she's actually the president of the American Homeopathy Association. And I actually got her books for adults learning. So if anybody's interested in joining me, I want to start a reading club. Email me and we can study together, because I find it very, very interesting. So that's one. The other one along similar lines is called Soda Farm. And that sounds really weird, but this person is a herbalist, traditionally trained herbalist, but instead of making herb teas that taste gross and yucky and you can't get your kids to drink it or you don't want to drink it, she basically has come up with a way to take advantage of herbs, natural herbs, in forms like botanical sodas, herbal teas, and herbal lattes. And she also puts them in like different kinds of granola mixes. And she has things like a formula for allergies, a formula for headaches, a formula for sleeping better, that type of stuff. I talked to her for an hour about the principles of plant medicine. So
let's take a second. Just let anybody, if you're new to homeschooling, the thing that's interesting, again, the similarities between Bitcoiners and homeschoolers continues to come up. The number of people who are interested in they don't call it a non-fiat diet, but those that are interested in a more natural way of living, the number of people who are doing, what do you call it again when you live off your own means?
Permaculture?
Homesteading. So homesteading, getting into your food and understanding these other types of things are pretty normal. And you can find different types of courses and resources. This one sounds like it's more geared towards the parent, but you can find some that are geared towards children as well.
But this is for parents using this for their kids, whereas the homeopathy curriculum is parents teaching their kids about homeopathy. This one in particular, I was able to talk to her for a very long time. Her name is Dawn, about using local raw honey and then mixing it with different plant-based sugars to make quote-unquote medicine. But it's very interesting, and I always love talking to the person behind the book. I bought her book called Sweet Remedies, about using combining honey and plants to make different home remedies. So anyway, check it out.
So I think that's something that we overlook too. When kids go to school, and I don't know what the school lunches are these days, my guess is that it's not the healthiest. It's probably a lot of processed food, or it could be influenced maybe by some political types of agendas. When you're when you homeschool your kid, or even if you're just schooling late at night, like your kids are in public school, teaching about natural foods. And I mean, we talk about a lot about the carnivore diet, the lion's diet, all these other things in the low time preference type of diets in the Bitcoin world. The homeschooling world has a similar type of passion for these types of things. And I just think that's a huge overlap between the two groups.
Yeah, there definitely is. Okay, I have two more. Switching gears, the next one is called Science Ninjas. And the reason that I like them and I want to tell you guys about them is there is a game that was created called Chemistry and Ninjas. And when kids play this game, they are learning about the periodic table, but in a fun, very colorful, very easy math calculation, attack, retreat kind of playing mechanism. So the guy who created the game told me that he game tested with third graders. So third graders are learning the periodic table literally with the actual what they call electronic electron signs. So okay, let me just say this again. So this game is called Valence, and it's Chemistry and Ninjas, and they're building molecules with elite ninja teams using acid attacks to break your opponent's bases into mere salt and water. So they're learning serious chemistry while they're having fun, ages 8 and up. And I was at the booth with the game developer, and he demoed the game for me, and I thought it was really clever. And of course, we use games to teach Bitcoin and economic principles, so I in particular really appreciated that chemistry can be very scary for a lot of people, the math involved, etc. But if you let the kids play this game when they're in elementary school, before they know to fear chemistry, then by the time they have to take chemistry, maybe number one, they will have some basic knowledge, and number two, they wouldn't have that negative connotation associated with the word chemistry. So I thought that was quite clever. So he also has comic books teaching chemistry and physics. So check it out. It looks very, very kid-friendly. And like I said, I did watch the demo of the chemistry game, and I think that it would have helped me if I had played in elementary school. So check out Science Ninjas. Okay, the last one was also a brand new business. It's called Push and Grow. And I talked to the business owner, and he basically pre-measured the soil depth for a seed. So if you're starting a herbal garden, and different seeds require different soil depths. So he pre-measured with dissolvable glue, and then he put the seeds on the stick, the wooden stick. So, and then he marked where you need, how far you need to push it down. So all you have to do is get the sticks, and I think they come in packages 5, and you get some soil and you stick it in just to the marked area and use water. So he makes growing a herbal garden or any small garden very, very easy. It could be a really wonderful way of introducing your kids to plant biology. Got it. And it's called Push and Grow.
Right. So, I mean, let me recap. So the variety of things that you will see at a conference is pretty amazing. It could be everything from curriculum, which we didn't really touch on any of the curriculum here, but you can also add subjects that would not normally be part of a normal schooling experience, like a public school experience.
They also make it easy for parents, like the Push and Grow. He basically said, if you order a box, you can teach plant biology. Right. You don't have to go buy the seeds, buy the container, buy the sticks, and do all of that stuff. It's a time saver.
Right. So, okay. So I think we have a few minutes. We can probably get at a high level what our discussions were that we presented on in our workshops. Mm-hmm. Okay. So again, so the structure of these conventions, you have exhibitor hall filled with all like a huge variety of different types of things. Like we just gave some examples. And you also have often breakout rooms. You have the keynote speakers, which might have hundreds and hundreds of people. So it almost reminds me of a Bitcoin conference where you have like keynote speakers come that are actually attracting people. But you also have all these work sessions. So it almost reminds me of like an unconference or an adopting Bitcoin type of thing, where if you want, you can submit an idea and say, I would like to speak on the following. And it doesn't matter that you're not a keynote speaker. If you're a Nosser developer, you're whatever. For our case, it's homeschooling and game schooling. And that's what Tali and I did. So we signed up. We tried to get 3. We ended up, 2 got approved. And there were the two subjects that we covered. The first one was essentially about how the characteristics of Bitcoiners and homeschoolers are aligned. On this one, I was the primary leader, and then Tali supported me. The second one, we flip-flopped, and she was a primary speaker, and I supported her. My session was about the similarities. It essentially took most of the elements from our article summarizing last year's experience, comparing how homeschoolers and Bitcoiners are the same in terms of their values, proof of work, dealing with FUD, dealing with people who are fighting them, all of these types of things. And the second one, Tali basically went in to piss them off about money. She basically wanted to say, our money system is broke, and you're talking to people who are relatively frugal and money sensitive, because they're trying to run a household and they're trying to do all these things with schooling. And so there were a lot of things about inflation, talking about how the real money system works, that if you're in Bitcoin circles, this all sounds really familiar. We talk about it all the time, pretty much every meetup, every conference, most of the podcast, there almost always is something like that. Those are not normal discussions in the homeschooling side. And so what Tali does is she kind of walks them through and says, here's some examples of how things really work. And then at the end of it, they're pretty pissed. Some of them, at least they're ones that are focused, will kind of say, what are we going to do about this? And what can we do? And of course, we're there to try to say there's there are some options. And I think between the two different sessions, we probably had 70 people that stayed all the way through. They were pretty engaged. And you're talking about like an hour each. And then we talked to a lot of them afterwards at our booth. My takeaway is this is a slow, long-term process of reaching this group. The Overton window is definitely changing as Bitcoin is in the news more with the ETFs and maybe some politicians talking about it. Certainly the price going up, inflation getting worse. I think the Overton window is shifting. But my takeaway was they're still the right group to try to help understand how money works and why Bitcoin. But we still have a lot of work to do. It's an awareness issue. There's multiple levels of awareness. First about the money, then about digital money, because of course you got CDBCs and all the crap coins out there. And so this is a long-term process of starting with the awareness to eventually get them to where they are. So, all right. So Talia, that's the high level of what the presentations were. What did you think?
I would say most people who attended our talks became very, very open to hearing about Bitcoin once they understood how broken our monetary system is. I think the part that they're not absolutely convinced about is Bitcoin the answer? So we poked holes in their belief or in their view of what's going on in the economy today. And then because of that, they were open to asking us questions, more questions like, "What? Tell us more about Bitcoin. What is this supply thing you're talking about? What is this halving thing that people are talking about?" But a lot of them still focused on the price. So,
oh yeah, a lot of investment questions.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so we had to repeatedly say, we're not advising you on investment strategy. We're saying this is an option you should look at and educate yourself on. And as I was walking the vendor halls and I was chatting with the vendors who obviously weren't able to come to our talks, and they would see my shirt because my shirt said Free Market Kids and then there's a Bitcoin sign on there. They would ask me questions. And in those conversations, I found the same thing. Some of them are curious and they ask me questions and they're listening. But a lot of them would say, well, I invest in Luna. I invest in whatever other cryptocurrencies. And when I challenge them on the supply and this, you know, the head of the cryptocurrency, whether it's an organization or person or whatever, some of them were very adamantly sure that what they have chosen to invest in meets all those criteria and that they are doing the right thing. And always they will go back to, I'm making money or I'm hoping to make money or something like that. And so, like you said, there's a long road. And I think people have to be in the right time in their life and their experiences to be self-motivated to get educated more, because we can't, as two people, two strangers, convince them of anything. They have to already need that and then decide to get more information. Like, it's going to take them more than 45 minutes of listening to us talk to understand
right
Bitcoin mission, ecosystem, how right. it's used, that kind of stuff.
Well, we didn't mention this yet in this discussion, but also this year's attendance was way, way, way down. And because we'd gone to the same location last year, and this is supposedly the largest of the conventions
in the United States.
In the U.S. And the attendance was just, I mean, it was so noticeable how empty some aisles were. And what we associate that, we obviously don't know the exact answer, but if you are being impacted by inflation, maybe you've had a job loss, if you are delaying vacations, a lot of the things that are in the undercurrent of what is being talked about, certainly what sentiment of people feel about the economy, that's what we think led to the lower turnout. Not like a reduction in number of people who are interested in homeschooling per se, but where I'm going with that is the very people who most need to hear it also weren't there. If you decided not to go to a conference because you're having trouble paying with the cost of food and energy and medical and whatever it is that's impacting you personally, then you're also the one who most needs to hear about this, right? So I thought that was, again, we're speculating on what the reason is, but that was noticeable.
Well, it was interesting too, because we had just come back from the conference. It had wrapped up, and we were at your parents' house, and Fox News was on. And what did they talk about? They shared percentages of American families changing behavior because of the inflationary environment. And one of them, you took a picture of it, right?
I may have. You're some of the one with the delayed vacation.
Yeah, 47% of people said that they have reduced their vacation time. 22% or something had to take a second job or increase their hours, like that kind of stuff. So that survey we can share, but
we'll have to find that one.
So because we came away from the largest homeschool convention in the country thinking, where are the people? And then right that afternoon saw that report
a lot on of Fox people, News. If you've never attended, what you may not realize is some homeschooling families, this is almost a vacation to go to a conference. And it's not one that necessarily the kids are as excited about, because it's not like going to a theme park or something like that. The mom and dad are going to be looking around at books unless they find like the airplane.
Well, they have the kids club.
No, sort of, I know they do.
So
I'm just
like
saying. No, I know. My point is just that I don't think it's intuitive to most people to say that a homeschooling convention is a destination for a holiday until you've actually seen the dedication of homeschooling families. Understand right. that, yeah, you might say, kids, we're saving up. We're going to take a trip to whatever city their closest convention is, and you're going to get to look at toys and books and do all these other things. But for the parents, they're actually using that trip as a reason to go and figure out the next year's curriculum. They're using that for new resources. They're using that to reconnect with other people who have a similar mindset. But when you have to cut back because life, like inflation, is impacting them for real, then that would lead to the outcome that we saw where, like, it was just... It was so small, and we don't think that homeschooling itself is decreasing. Our understanding is it's going to continue to increase in popularity. So there seemed to be a disconnect between growing homeschool movement, but a decreasing audience or attendee size at the conference. And I think it actually is exactly what we were trying to talk to them about. And I thought it was just ironic that the very people we probably most need to reach were also the ones that may not have been able to attend. So I recommend, let's wrap it up. Let's lessons learned and call to action. So I'll go first. My lesson learned is, like, even if you are not a homeschooler, or even if you are a homeschooler but cannot attend one of these in person, you can still find, I think they have the talks online. I'm not sure how to find them. But at the very least, you can see the people who are the keynote speakers. You can see a list of vendors, and you can go to all the links to all their websites. So if you are looking for resources to supplement your child's education, there is a huge collection of these things in one spot. And so if you happen to be able to attend, then you can talk to other people, you can talk to vendors, you can attend workshops, you can do all that and get the information. You can certainly pick up the resources while you're there. But even if you can't attend, to me, the call to action is, this is something that is a resource to go to in terms of things to at least research to see if they fit your family. So
I'll add to that. If you can't make it to the convention, a really wonderful alternative, at least that's available to us because we have a used homeschool curriculum shop here locally. But I'm sure that in the larger cities, you probably have something similar. So just go to a used curriculum shop. You can probably find them online or just ask, go on Facebook and type in your local homeschool group and then ask in there. You go there and you can not only talk to the shop owners who probably know all the curriculums, but you can flip through and see what you like to try. And of course, they're at a discounted rate. And so you can maybe try two or three different types of curriculum and see how your kids respond to them. So that's a great alternative if you have access to a used curriculum shop.
All right, so we will absolutely have links to all these. And if people have questions, reach out to us directly. And we'll keep you posted on our progress trying to reach out through this venue. And until next week.
Bye. If you enjoyed this podcast and if you found this valuable, please leave a review to help others find us too.
For those who prefer zapping sats, we love those too. We're on Fountain, we're on Noster, and we're on Orange Pill app.
Also, I host a women's only Bitcoin podcast called Orange Hatter. And the mission of that podcast is to reach pre-coiner women. So if you know of someone in your life that you would like to introduce Bitcoin to, check it out.
So Tali and I also don't have sponsors for this show. We are trying to build and run Free Market Kids. You can check out our products at freemarketkids.com. This includes the Bitcoin mining game HODL Up, which is a great introduction to Bitcoin.
The school edition of HODL Up is always available. We also have the 2024 halving edition. It's going to be super deluxe. Very excited to roll it out. It is available on presale at a 21% discount.
Until next time, happy hodling.